Yes, amen. Bless the Lord. Yeah, we are living in perilous times, are we not? Every time I read the news, every day, just terrible things. I can only say we're living in very perilous times. I wonder if we could start with the book of John, chapter 10. I'll tell you why I'm talking about this. A brother called me a little more than a week ago, told me about a friend, a good Christian brother, and began to tell me that the enemy hit him again, that his wife just suddenly had to have emergency surgery in the hospital. And he had just got through a real financial crisis. One just before that, something happens to his children, something happens to his car, something happens to his work, his job. Everything that was happening was robbing him. And as soon as my brother spoke that to me, immediately it was like the Spirit said to me, he's being hit by the spirit of the thief. And I got to thinking after I heard that, you know, I've been hit by that spirit from time to time, the spirit of the thief. And I just want to look into what the Word of God says. Now, let me say, before we begin, just because you've been hit by the spirit of the thief does not mean that you've been wicked and that you've been sinning. On the other hand, on the other side, God has sent the spirit of the thief to those who have been unfaithful to him to remind them that their way is not going well because they have not followed and walked in the ways that they should. So let's not just say because somebody is suffering from the spirit of the thief, it means he's been doing something wrong. Maybe God, you know, what was Job doing wrong when that spirit of the thief went after him? What was he doing wrong? Nothing. But it was for the purpose of God to bring him higher. So let's just look at some of these verses, and maybe you can come to your own conclusion here. The bottom line, though, if the spirit of the thief has had you under bondage, there is a way out. We can win. We can win over all these demonic spirits, brethren. But we need to rise up, and we need to be persistent to come out of this hole that we might have been in. It may take a while. It may take a couple years. But let me tell you, you can win. We can win. God wants us to win over all these spirits. Now, I'm not going to say like Kenneth Copeland. I heard him say right out, God wants you rich. No, this is not what we're talking about. But God does not want us under the yoke of bondage either. So let's start off in John chapter 10. Jesus talks about the thief. And maybe we can come to some conclusions about what this spirit is like. Now, the first verse here, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door of the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So he's talking about not natural thievery here. He's talking about spiritual thievery. He's talking about those who have come in to the body of Christ and have not come in through Christ. They're bringing word, they're bringing teaching, they're bringing doctrines into the church among the people of God, and they did not come through the door. The door is Christ, okay? And but they came some other way. Now what in effect is happening is they are a thief. They are a robber. Let's call the spade, okay? Now, we come down a little bit further, and I'll just read a few more verses. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. The porter is the doorkeeper, by the way. Amen? What did David say? I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Amen? The porter openeth. I'm thinking of John the Baptist. He was a porter, wasn't he? He opened up the way to the Christ. Amen? And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Let me go down to, we'll start again in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In other words, he's not going to be in bondage. He's not going to be held in spirit of control. Now, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, you see, the purpose of Christ in our life is abundant life, okay? Not to live in abject poverty, not to live totally in debt, constantly, devil always robbing us of everything we've got, never being able to rise up above it. So you see, the thief has three purposes, all right? To steal, of course, he's a thief. He wants to take what you've got, amen? He would like to kill. The only reason he doesn't is if he's restrained, and he might be restrained by the Spirit of God, and to destroy. Now, if he can't take it, he'll just destroy it. I mean, he doesn't need it. He'll just come in like a plague of locusts, eat everything up, destroy. He hasn't come for any other purpose than that. And to steal, kill, and to destroy. Now, those are his purposes. What is his nature? Well, his nature is that he's unexpected. Let me take you to Revelation chapter 3. We'll just take a few verses here to show the nature of this unprepared, unexpected thievery. And of course, the Lord is talking about his coming in the same manner, unexpected. And he uses the parallel of the coming of a thief. You didn't expect the thief to come. I don't know, have any of you ever been burglarized in your home, or somebody come in and take things away from you? It's happened to you, Mike? Never happened to me. Nobody ever came. Oh, there we go, Larry. Yeah. Well, I've had things stolen from me, not very often, but I've had a few things, and I know it was the spirit of the thief that took it. Look here in Revelation chapter 3, and Jesus is talking to the church here. Verse 3, remember therefore, this is Sardis, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. All right? If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So the cure of this unexpected arrival, amen, even of the thief, I suppose, but for the coming of Christ, The cure is to watch. In other words, if you watch, you won't be taken unexpectedly. So in other words, we need to remain in a constant state of watching. You might ask me, well, Brother Mark, why are you always talking about the coming of Christ? Why are you always talking about end time things? Because it keeps me in a state of watching and preparedness and expectation. Amen. There's another verse in chapter 16 of Revelation here. Verse 15, I think it is. This is the pouring out of the sixth vial. Amen. And at the end of this, he says, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And so again, the word watch is put in here with the coming, the unexpected coming of a thief. Let's look at another verse here in Matthew. You're very familiar with some of these verses, but we'll just throw them out again. Matthew 24, you know, good old Matthew 24, Brother Mark's favorite chapter here. Down to verse 48, I think it is. Now, we're talking about a servant. Why don't I go back to 45? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Now, we could say anybody. This applies to anybody. But I think in particular, anybody involved in any kind of ministry, now it doesn't mean you have to be a pastor, a shepherd, or a prophet, or anything like that. Any involvement, any call of ministry, okay? And there are many, many other ministries besides this fivefold ministry. So a servant is a minister, okay? In fact, those two words are used interchangeably. So we're talking about a faithful and a wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household. That means he's given him responsibilities, okay? To give them meat in due season. Now, to give meat in due season, of course, is the giving of the word, the teaching of the word, the preaching of the word. That's giving meat. That's giving food to the hearer. Okay? Now, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, he's keeping to his calling. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant, now we've got a different kind of servant here. He's supposed to be doing his master's business, but he's got a different heart here. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. What's the problem? He's not watching. Oh, it isn't going to be for another 20 years. Well, maybe it will be another 20 years. But we're not allowed to think that. We're not allowed to say that. We're to believe it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. Suddenly I could hear a trumpet sound in the middle of the night, and it's the day of the coming of the Lord. Amen? All right. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants. In other words, he's beating up on the body of Christ. And you know, you beat up on the body of Christ with your words. With your mouth. Amen? And to eat and drink with the drunken. He's partaking of intoxicating doctrines. Amen? The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a good sign, not a good ending for that kind of a servant. Okay, go over into Second Peter. Second Peter, chapter 3 and verse 10. Now, not only is it unexpected, but the coming of the thief is in a season of darkness. We'll use the word night here, okay? It just means a spiritual season of darkness. So it says here, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. That's a spiritual realm of darkness, just going to pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. That's not the chart of elements. We've been through that before. Amen. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So this is not talking about natural things. How do you have a bonfire and we're all going to bring works and throw it on that bonfire and burn them up? It's spiritual. Of course it's spiritual. Amen. We burn up our works. It's not a natural fire. First Thessalonians says a little bit more about this period of darkness, this period of night, but of the times and seasons, chapter 5, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Hello? Did you notice that this verse says both day and night? The day of the Lord, not necessarily a natural period of daylight, but a time, a set time. Okay, what is the word I'm thinking of? At the appointed time will come what? As a thief in the night. Now, I one time said I have never heard of a thief giving notice that they're going to come at a certain time. They send you a letter, they send you an email, please leave your door unlocked, I'm coming at a certain time. I said that that never happened. But somebody in Nigeria corrected me and said, well, we've got thieves here in Nigeria that send you a notice that they're coming, and they very well intend to come. And you better not be fighting them back. I don't know. They still have those kind of thieves in Nigeria that are well, they're kind of a gang of thieves, I suppose. But if I knew that a thief was coming, if I had a notice, let me ask you, who shall I ask? Howard, if you were notified that a thief was coming at a certain time in a certain hour, what would you do to prepare for that hour and that time? Well, I tell you what I would do. At one time I would have said, well, I'll call all my brothers together. Well, I've only got one brother left. So I would get my nephews together. I would get my big, husky, healthy nephews. I would certainly invite Howard and his brother and Bump and Cork and a bunch of them. Say, look, a thief says he's coming to my house. I want you to stand with me here in the house, and we're not going to let him get away with anything. Okay? So I would be prepared, in other words, and he wouldn't get his way. He wouldn't do what he wants to do. So here we say, the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, this is the con, oh, I love this chapter. When they shall say, this is the you versus they. The they is the world. The they is the unprepared people. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. It's not just a nasty surprise. It's a destruction. Like your house is bombed. Amen. Destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. With just one more verse. But ye, brethren, This is the watchful ones. Ye brethren are not in darkness. All right. This is a spiritual darkness. You are not in, your mind is not fogged over that you can't perceive spiritual things. You are not in darkness. Amen. We're believing that for you. That day should overtake you as a thief. Look at that word overtake. It's not just that it sweeps across you, it does nothing to you. It overtakes you if you're not prepared. And that's what's going to happen, brethren, if we are not watching and prepared. All right, at nighttime. Now, back to Matthew chapter 6. We're just looking at things that are said about the thief here. And maybe we can glean something about the nature and how to overcome it. Matthew 6, we're in the Sermon on the Mount here. And verse 19, let's look at verse 19, a couple of verses here. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Okay, it's not that we're not to have treasures, but earthy treasures. How many of you know there's a difference between heavenly treasures and earthly treasures? Okay, earthly treasures you can put in a bank. You can put them in your safe. I don't know, you can lock them up somehow or think that you have them safe. Heavenly treasures, nobody can get at them, okay? Treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. How many of you discovered moth and rust? Something that you have been keeping for 20 years and you go to check it out and it's rusty and the moths have begun to eat at it. All right, this is what happens to earthly treasure. By the way, this happens to your wealth as well if you're just building up treasure in that sense for that purpose. Moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Thieves breaking through and steal. In other words, they're forcing their way in, and they're taking your treasure. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I guess you can have your heart on earthly things, or you can have your heart in heavenly things. If your heart is in heavenly things, I will not be moved. Amen, Brother Daniel. I will not be moved if my heart is in heavenly things. You won't shake it from me, and you won't steal it from me. While we're in Matthew, Jesus used the word thief here in the 21st chapter, and he likened it to what was going on in his temple. And I'm wondering if in his temple today there aren't gangs of thieves, maybe not physically selling animals and doves and what have you, but his temple, his house, I'm talking about the body of Christ, the house of God. Let's look at what he said here, Matthew 21, verse 13. And let's start at 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. Amen. What are some of these television guys doing? If they're not buying and selling the gift that God has given them. Amen. They're making a profit on it. They're becoming millionaires. Amen. And cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. Now, that word thief that's used here is actually a little different word than the one we've read so far. This word is what it means is a pack of brigands. You ever heard of the word brigands? Is that an old English word? What it means is a gang of them, not just one or two thieves, but a whole troop of them. You've made it a whole gang of thieves. All right, we'll move on. Oh, by the way, there was a thief among the disciples. Did you know that? One of the 12? He was a thief. Let me take you to John chapter 12. Here's a woman that I think it was where Mary anointed Christ, okay? And she took the pound of ointment and very costly and anointed the feet of Jesus, verse 3, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Of course, this is written after his betrayal. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? 300 pence is 1 year's wages for the average working man. A pence a day, okay? For he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. So you've got 12 disciples, and Jesus makes the treasurer Judas, the thief. Don't you think Jesus knew what was going on? This is interesting. And you know what? Jesus loved him, tried to save him, tried to get him to repent. But he would not be moved, but in the wrong way. Now, let's look into the Old Testament a little bit, how the spirit of the thief has worked against God's people. I'll look in the book of Judges, first of all. I seem to be going to Gideon quite a bit lately. But going to Gideon reminds me again of what was happening. God's people were turning to idolatry. I'm trying to find the chapter beginning. Chapter 6, verse 3. All right, let's see. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. That's kind of a complete number, isn't it? How would you like to be delivered into the hand of the thief for 7 years? Well, maybe some of you are going to say, Brother Mark, I've been in the hand of the thief for 7 years, and I'm getting out now. Or maybe you found the key and you overcame. And you begin to rebuke that spirit of the thief, and you begin to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not going to pursue the things of this earth, the treasures of this earth anymore. I'm going to pursue the treasures of heaven. Amen. But you can rebuke that spirit of the thief, and the Lord can bring you to a liberty. All right. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves and strongholds. They had to hide in holes in the ground because of the Midianites. These are the people that God has said, look, I want you to go into the promised land. I want you to have the abundance of the land. I want you to live in peace. But there's conditions. I want you to follow me. If you don't, these are the things that are going to happen to you. We'll go back to Deuteronomy. Show how God told them it was going to happen to them. And it was so when Israel had sown, so they'd plant their garden, they'd plant their fields, amen, that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase. The thief cometh what? To kill, to steal, destroy. So the nature of these people, these Midianites and Amalekites, they were not refugees that were fleeing from persecution somewhere. They were coming in for the sole purpose of destroying what God had given to the Israelite people. They maybe weren't even taking it. You know, have any of you read anything about these hordes of people that would come into Poland? I was reading the history of Poland. These hordes of Cossacks was one of them. There was another gang of thieves for the Mongolians. What were they called? There was a name. Anyway, they would come in among these poor people, and they would rob, they would rape, they would plunder, and they would burn all their houses. All the houses would be burned down. And then they would leave, and they would take whatever they could. And these people would have to rebuild all their houses all over again. And another 20, 30, 40, another generation, they'd come in again, and they do it. And these roving hordes of people from the east, in fact, it was given right here in verse 3, and the children of the east. So apparently that was the nature of some of these people for thousands of years. They would do this, get on their horses and ride into where maybe they didn't have much, but they would just destroy everything they had. All right. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come to Gaza and left no substance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. I'm going to call them locusts. It means the same thing. A grasshopper is a locust. Amen. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to do what? To destroy it. It was the nature. Their nature was, let's go out and destroy. Now, you know, there's gangs here in America, probably other places too, and their purpose is to go out and destroy. Let's go out and beat somebody up. Let's go out and kill somebody. There's a brother that we know, a brother in the Lord, and he told me when he was young, he was in a gang one time, and they got bored, and they said, let's go kill somebody. And, you know, by the mercy of God, he wasn't involved in that, but would have happened. And this is what people do. This is what these nature of the thief. Amen. All right. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. See, they came from bondage. Now they're in bondage again in the promised land. Amen. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. That's the problem. Now, I'm not suggesting everybody that's in bondage is there because they have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. But ask yourself the question, Lord, Am I walking in obedience to you? Is there anything in my life that you want to correct? Do you want to set in proper order? You want to set my priorities different than what they've been? You know, the Lord has spent a lot of time in my life setting different priorities. How many of you know that? Amen. It wasn't that my priorities were all bad, but some of my priorities weren't in line with the kingdom of God. You know, it's just more and more honing down, sharpening. All right. And so he sent Gideon. Now, let me find a different place here and go to chapter 7. We're still on these grasshoppers here, these locusts. Chapter 7. Let's start in verse 12. Okay, now we've got the 300 men, the overcoming company. God's overcomers are going to defeat the spirit of the thief. Verse 12, it says, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. By the way, somewhere here, I think it's in chapter it tells actually how many that number were. I think it was somewhere around, oh, here it is. It's in verse 10 of chapter 8. It says, now Keba, Zamunah were in Kedar, and their hosts with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left, and all the hosts of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. I would say 120,000 men in an army out there would look like a horde of grasshoppers, wouldn't it? And it would look like without number. You would just see, man, who can count them all? 100,000 man army is a big army in those days. And that's how many lost their life in that attack against Israel. All right. And their camels are without number, as the sand of the seaside for multitude. Down in verse 19. Let's go down to where they are defeated here. And it says, and they stood every man, verse 21, in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300, this is the Gideon 300 overcoming company. Amen. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zerira and to the border of Abel Meholah unto Tabeth. So they defeated that host of the enemy. Now, let's go back to Deuteronomy and find out why did this happen? Why did the spirit of the thief get loosed on a whole nation of people? Not just a couple of individuals, but on the whole nation, the whole bunch of them. Deuteronomy 28. Now, this is Moses is giving the word of the Lord to them as they come to the end of their 40 years of wandering in the desert. And they've come up now to where Moses isn't going to live very long, and he's giving them the final word, okay? And after this, then Joshua is going to take them across the Jordan into the promised land, where they can have abundance, a land of milk and honey. However, there is a condition. How many of you know there's always conditions to salvation in the Lord? Amen? It's not once saved, always saved, regardless of whatever you do. There's conditions. All right, so Deuteronomy 28, let's start maybe in about 38. So, oh, there's so much more here. Well, let me start in verse 28, okay? Here's what's going to happen if you don't obey me. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. That word astonishment means confusion. Amen? And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Okay, in other words, God has no problem with us prospering, but that doesn't mean we're all going to become millionaires and billionaires. It means we're going to have the things we need, and we're going to be able to live without being robbed. Okay? I believe in that. This is what God says. All right? Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Have you ever known anybody that's been in that situation? They plan to build a house. They have all kinds of good plans. They're going to do this, they're going to do that. Well, they get a loan. Next thing you know, they can't pay the loan off. The bank takes it. Somebody else gets it. Well, too bad. Amen. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given to another people, and thine eyes shall look, and shall fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, Midianites, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt not see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, for the sole of thy foot upon the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, into a nation that neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods and wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment. Amen. Now that word astonishment means a thing of horror, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little, for the locust shall consume it. Now, in this case, the locust was the horde of enemies, the horde of Midianites and Amalekites, and those raiding tribes from the east, Mongolian hordes, perhaps. I don't know how far from the east they came. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them. Thou shalt neither gather drink of the wine, nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat of them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, and thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Maybe they go into captivity of the devil, amen, of the enemy. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. Well, I think we've got a good picture of what's going on. There was another verse back here in Leviticus 26 that I thought might be worth looking at, because it speaks to the same thing. Leviticus 26. Oh, let me find it here. Here he's saying the same thing. Conditions, verse 14, if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. What were the people of God doing in those days? They had those idols of the Canaanites. They were bowing down to them. They were sacrificing to them. They were taking their children and putting them on the altar of Moloch, burning them, giving us children a sacrifice to these gods. My goodness. People in America today are doing the same thing to the spirit of abortion, to the spirit of sexual liberty. That's what they're doing. The gods of lust and this type of thing. Amen. I also will do this unto you. I even will appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague. That shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth you. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. How many years did the Israelites get punished in the days of Gideon? 7 years. Seven times. Amen. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. My goodness, when I read this, I'm thinking about our own land, the United States. I'm thinking about, my goodness, what's happening to the country. Break your pride. We're very proudful people. Our military, our might, very proud. Our president, very proud man. Hallelujah. All right. Well, it just makes me think. Now, consumed by locusts and worms. The prophet Joel talks about some of these things. And let me go and find Brother Joel here. He's after Daniel, Hosea, and Joel, I believe it is. Here it is, Joel. Now, the whole book of Joel is a very interesting book. It isn't very long, but you can make an outline out of this book real easy. Okay, the first part of Joel is the swarm of locusts coming in, locusts devouring everything. It's an invasion. An invasion of human locusts, all right? And demons, palmer worms, what have you, that they come in like demons. Let me read The first chapter, verse 4. That which the palmer worm, we're talking about demons, hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. My goodness. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from your mouth. Amen. For a nation is come upon you, my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. All right, we're talking about destruction here. Now, there is a cure. There is a chance of restoration. All right, now we come over. There's things that we should do. We come to verse 13 and 14 here. It says, gird yourselves and lament, ye priests. Howl, ye ministers of the altar. Come lie all night in sackcloth, ye ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify ye a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God and cry unto the Lord. All right, so repentance. Now, restoration, all right? Chapter 2, I believe it is next. Yes, and of course, we can start off with blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm in my holy mountain. But let's go a little further into chapter 2 and come to verse 23. We're coming into the restoration. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he that hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Okay? So God can restore what the thief has done to the land and your soul as well. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years. Come on, brethren. Let's look at our lives. Let's look at the things. Go back into the time of your life when there was a when your substance, your life, your everything was eaten up by the locust. You were in abject poverty. Everything was going wrong. Amen. He says, "And I will restore all those years." Amen. I will restore it. You don't have to go back there anymore. It's all over. It's in the past. I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the canker worm, the caterpillar, the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. Where was the there's a verse in Amos that made me think of this. Amos chapter 5. It's not exactly well, it reminds me of whatever the palmer worm didn't eat, the canker worm ate. Whatever the canker worm didn't eat, the locust ate. It's something similar, but it's a little bit different. Here, somebody tell me where Amos is. Chapter 5, very interesting little thing here. You've read it before. Amos 5, I think it's in verse 19. Oh. we'll start in verse 18. Well, maybe And all the vineyards shall be wailing, and I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light, as if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned upon the wall and a serpent bit him. Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light, even very dark, and no brightness in it? That's very interesting. You know, I've been in a situation similar to that. Well, one thing happens, then another thing happens, and then somebody gets sick, and then the car breaks down, and then something happens to the house, and then something happens that draws your money away from you. One thing after another. Lord, what is going on? Now, we talked about restoring. Let's go back to the book of Malachi here. You're familiar, we've read this verse quite a number of times. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. I will rebuke the devourer. Amen. Now, maybe the Lord has given us the power to rebuke the devourer. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, according to the power of his blood, we have the ability to rise above that devourer, rebuke that devourer. Well, there's things we have to do. You know, will a man rob God? You know, people are robbing God. People are not giving. And by the way, we need to give. Somewhere, something we need to give. I'm not saying we need to give exactly a tenth of everything you've got to some church, some denomination, but you need to be a giving people. Give to something. Amen? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I have another verse here in Isaiah. It's a very positive verse. It speaks, again, of the restoration of God. Isaiah chapter 10. And verse 27. Let's start a little earlier than that. And maybe go back into verse 22, I guess. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined in the midst of all the land. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian, for he shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation shall cease, and mine anger in their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him, according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Horeb. There he's talking about Midian again. Midian was destroyed, amen, in the days of Gideon. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift up after the manner of Egypt. Here's the verse I'm looking for. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his neck and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I like that song, because of the anointing of the Lord. Well, amen. You know, there is the spirit of the thief that has sometimes had liberty to get into our circumstances, to get into our life. The spirit of the thief has gotten into a nation even to bring destruction. But brethren, we have a word that if we turn to the Lord, we can overcome that spirit. And we will then remember not the former things, for God is bringing a new thing to us. Now, as I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking of old brother Job. My goodness, that poor man got hit by the spirit of the thief. But it wasn't because he had done anything wrong. It was because God had a higher purpose for the man, and he was going to be among, shall we say, God's favorites. Maybe we'll look at that next time, Brother Job. But I think that's about all I want to say today about the spirit of the thief. And we'll bring it to an end here.